Adam Pengilly, a very good morning to you. How are you, mate?
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. First of all, Jared, I've got to offer congratulations to Loz, scratching Foxy Cleopatra 383 times.
We found the right race for her, Adam.
Yeah, you did, Loz. You did. How many acceptance fees have you paid over the weeks to get to that point?
Well, we've paid it off. Now. Paid the acceptance fees off.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't become a usual pattern.
Yes. No, very well done, mate. She was very impressive. She might be going places, I reckon.
Just keep a lid on it, mate, eh? Well, you blokes in the media, you want to talk her up?
Oh, here we go. Go on, tell us again. Where's she going next?
The ethereal.
Yeah, okay, very good. I'll tell you what, Jared, it does make you feel a little bit sick, though, the two blokes sitting next to you.
Oh, mate.
Unbelievable, isn't it? They just get into horse racing ownership, and they've got horses they're winning in the city and on Group 1 pass and everything like that. It's, unbelievable.
And, you know, have I got into one now to be shin sore in the paddock 16 times? And the bills will just keep mounting.
Well, Adam, I got pretty excited when T-Bus walked into the room. He was with us on Friday.
Yeah. And he walked in. I couldn't believe it.
And I said, mate, what do you reckon? He said, well, I can't do much more. So I was like, oh, here we go. And I was that nervous. I was that nervous watching her, but coming around the bend.
Bought the house down.
Oh, yeah. We would have had about 50 or 60 of us there in this room, and we were just cheering her home.
Yeah, it was great scenes.
Fantastic. And she had to do a bit of work, didn't she, was early? Like,
yeah.
Worried. Blake had to try and do a bit of work to find a spot, but she was too good for that lot. So well done. Well done, mate. Look forward to this year.
Yeah. The further, the better, apparently.
Yes. Yep. She on the right path.
Well, you go. A mile to 2,000 next star with the ethereal. So bring it on. Now, great scenes as well at Randwick on Saturday. I love the shot of Huey Bowman and Brenton Abdullah bracing as Ellsbergen top-ranked, dead-heated in the Tab Epsom.
Yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it, Jared? I must admit, going into the race, it felt like it was a bit underwhelming in Epsom, only 10 runners, and you thought, it's not the strength of field or depth of field we used to get in the past, but it certainly produced an outstanding finish, and you just knew the longer that went on, that photo finish, the more likely it was going to be a dead heat. And fantastic scene to see Brenton and Huey come back to scale together. It was great to see the connections of both horses, Ellsberg and Top Rank, together with each other in the mounting yard, waiting for the result, and a really fairy tale finish in the end. So well done to both horses. I thought Hinge was pretty good there. She got squeezed out late in the piece there, but running third. But penalty away from the two winners, the dead heat. First time, was it the third time, I think, Jared, in the history of the Epsom has been a dead heat and first time for 90-odd years, I think. So, amazing result.
Another quiet day for Chris Waller.
Oh, it's incredible, isn't it, Loz? He loves these big days, doesn't he? A couple of group ones. We got you, first of all, on the flight stakes. She was extremely impressive. She's just a typical sort of slower maturing three-year-old for Chris Waller. I didn't see her much as a two-year-old. And obviously, for the spring and the three-year-old, she's sort of really come into her own and she was real dominant there on the weekend. So, I don't know what path they sort of take from there. I wonder where they send her for a spell to the paddock, but she's definitely done her job this preparation. She's outstanding. Fireburn, probably a little bit disappointing. They didn't finish off the race the way that many thought she would. And then we move on to the Metropolitan, and No Compromise was outstanding, wasn't he? He's a horse that I've had a lot of time for this preparation. Just waiting to get to his right race, and he found it there on the weekend. Another extremely close finish, and I could have sworn when I went past the post it was close to another dead heat with LaDon de V, but the judge found a margin, and he's now Group 1 winner as well.
Smoke and Romans won at, what, Teddy, $20 plus down south for the Ma Eustace team in the Turnbull Stakes at Flemington.
Yeah, talk about horses coming a long way, Jared, in a short space of time. This bloke was running around in, Country Cups in the last 6 to 12 months. So he's now Group 1 winner in the Turnbull Stakes. I will say, Jared, though, that race was run at a farcical tempo. It was just a sprint home, wasn't it? So obviously settling up on speed there under Ethan Brown. He had absolutely every possible chance and was quite dominant there in the end. And I can understand why people are liking his chances at the Caulfield Cup, given he's going to drop significantly in weight. I thought Maximal was great there. He's a horse who came over to Australia with a big reputation, trained by John O'Shea. He just needed to find a bit of firmer ground. And that's the Maximal probably people in Europe knows. He was great running second. Young Berta wasn't too bad either. But I suppose probably the disappointment of the race might have been Profondo. I'm not quite sure where he's going with him at the moment. He seems to be paddling a little bit in the one spot. I don't know if Richard Lee can find the right race for him, but take nothing away from Smoke and Romans. He had everything to suit, and he got the job done in style there in the Turnbull Stakes.
And Inglis are looking for a new horse to run in their slot in the Everest.
Yeah, what do you do, Loz? I just
don't know.
I don't know where they turn now. It's obviously so late in the piece now. We're less than 2 weeks out. Snapdance had a small issue. She's been withdrawn from the race, so there's not a whole lot of options out there. I heard you guys speaking about Private Eye a little bit earlier. Yep, he's in form. Excellent win the Gilguy Stakes down the straight there on the weekend. he might be a horse they turn to. I don't know, but looking at the weather forecast, like, I'd be finding a wet tracker for sure. We're going to get stuck of rain again close to the weekend this week. Again, the forecast for the next 2 weeks looks like it's some more rain closer to Everest Day, the back end of the next week as well. So I think it's fair to say we're working with a very heavily rain-affected track in a couple of weeks' time. Just got to try and find a horse out there who's still in the picture.
You might know this, Adam, or may not know it, but the chances of swapping tracks in the lead-up to a big event. Now, with the Everest, and we've got all this rain predicted. Can they just swap it, or is it too hard? Like, can they just go from Randwick to Rose Hill to look after the track? Or no, it's just never considered like that.
Well, potentially they could, Loz, but I doubt they'd do that for a meeting like the Everest. Probably more to the point is that Randwick's going to be racing 4 weeks in a row by the time we get to the Everest.
Yeah, that's mean this week?
I mean this week. Yeah, I don't mean for the Everest. I mean for this week.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, potentially, no doubt at all. There could be a chance because given Randwick's had a heavy workload, and they need to look at this in the future as well. Because you want to just try and give it that break, that the week off between the Everest, say the meeting we had in the weekend, the Epsom and the Everest. And I'm not quite sure why we have to run that Silver Eagle meeting at Randwick this week. I'm sure people will say, well, the Spring Champions on as well. We need to have that meeting there at Randwick, but I would love to see Randwick get a little bit of a break, given the weather we've had this year has just been horrendous, hasn't it? And the track is tight. It raced fairly well, I thought, on the weekend, but it's had a huge workload. So whether they go down that path this week, I doubt.
It's probably too hard, isn't it, with all corporates and all that type of stuff?
The corporates is a massive issue, given how many bookings they'd have for this week for this Saturday. But I think in the future it's something they need to look at.
The connections are very elegant. I wonder how much regret, I guess, they have now on taking this path to send the horse to France after it failed yet again in that, 2,800 metre Group 1 on Saturday.
Yeah, I sat up and watched that race on Saturday night, Jared, and you could just tell after two or three furlongs, she just had that sick feeling. She was back buried along the fence in the second half of the field. She was over racing and throwing her head about, and you just thought, this is not going to end very well, is it? And it didn't, to be honest. And again, I don't want to be too harsh on her, because she probably had excuses. They went at a very dawdling tempo again. It just turned into a sprint home, and from where she was, she was never going to be in the finish. But having said that, that's three times now where she's probably run below expectations, and just goes to show how hard it is to travel horses the other side of the world, in particular at the back end of their careers. Nothing's really gone right so far. Mark Zara, I saw, made some comments after the race saying, don't give up on her yet. Maybe give her one more run at Royal Ascot and the Champion Stakes. I think it might be. But I tell you what, nothing's going to plan at all at the moment. And I'm a big believer in, I want to see champions go out on the right note. I want to see them leave a right legacy. Nothing's going to take away her 11 Group 1 wins in Australia and the Melbourne Cup win. But I tell you what, her legacy is probably being tainted, I'd say, just a little bit at the moment with what's happened over there in Europe.
What do you make of the grand final?
Penrith are outstanding, aren't they, Jared? Just a different class, aren't they? You could tell from the very early stage of that game, probably as early as the first try, to be fair, that there's only going to be one result in that match, and they're just an outstanding football team. I don't want to take too much away from Parramatta. They've had a great season to make the grand final, but clearly they were second best on the day on Sunday night there. And just the evolution of guys like Dylan Edwards, Brian Toto, they're a special, special football team, and probably rightly we can start comparing them to the best teams in the NRL era. And I would say they're right up there, if not the best we've seen in the NRL era in the last 25, 30 years. So well done to Ivan Cleary, all the staff out there at Penrith, Brian Fletcher, Matt Cameron have done an amazing job, and what a football team.
How's the voice going, mate?
Oh, I'm struggling softly. sorry.
No, all good, all
better
good.
Than mine.
The little fella's been crook last couple of days, and I think he's passed it on, so we'll do our best to get through the week.
No, good on you, mate. Have a good day.
See you, boys.